from Fox 46, where he's a sports anchor, sports director, sports reporter. You also know him as the host of a Relatable Journey podcast. And I may have screamed his name out in passion on this show before. The great Will Kunkel joins
Kunkel,
us on the Technicolor.
Damn you!
Hotline now. Welcome back to the show, Will.
Oh, thanks for that introduction. I'm glad that's how you're screaming my name in passion, though.
Listen, I've screamed many more names in much worse ways in the heat of passion. I got to ask you, though. So I just shared the story. Apparently, my kids and their three friends polished off 100 mini candy canes inside 24 hours. I ask you, Will, how long would it take you to polish off that many mini candy canes?
Years. I'm not a sweet guy. You know, I'm more of, you know, if they were a bag of potato chips, it would take me minutes. But my wife would hammer those candy canes real quick.
They are. It is one of the things that I did miss during the Christmas season while trying to stay true to my diet. Will, we put it off long enough. Panthers, Tampa on Sunday. Do you see a path to victory for this beleaguered Panthers team?
No. Oh, should I elaborate?
I mean, you know, if you wanted to.
No, I mean, I don't see how they seriously need to get that win. I mean, Bruce Arians seems like they're going to be playing most of their guys. They're still fighting for seeding, I believe. And now with Antonio Brown out, they got to go out there and figure out their offense a little bit more because they're down one of their better receivers and better offensive playmakers. Their defense is, I don't want to say in shambles, but gave up quite a few points. I think 24 to the Jets. So they got some things to figure out before they go into the playoffs and try to win back-to-back Super Bowls. And meanwhile, the Panthers can't block anybody. And the offensive line is just in shambles. Too many offensive line combinations going on there. Too many things to figure out in the offseason. Things that they've neglected have really come home to roost this year, unfortunately. So it's just, this is what we kind of talked about coming into the year. Like, the best-case scenario is the Panthers had about at least 7, maybe 8 wins right now going in, trying to get their 9th win, and that the Buccaneers would be forced and would maybe rest all their guys as the number one seed, and nothing of that has happened.
Well, if Dave Tepper, Panthers owner, is truly considering Matt Rule's future, how much weight should this game carry one way or another?
Well, I don't think it should carry any weight. I mean, I think because this is a long-term project, you either like what you see at this point or you don't like what you see. If you're making a snapshot decision on week 18 of the NFL and week 1 through 17 didn't mean anything to you, and that you're waiting on week 18, I think you're making an emotional decision. So I think this is a long-term process. I know that people didn't like the Jay-Z comparison that he made. I understand that they are frustrated. This is not where they should be, and they have regressed this year. So I'm not defending Matt Rule, but I think personally I can't say the word deserves because I don't know that he deserves another year, but I think he should get another year from David Tepper. But if you're David Tepper, and again, you're waiting to make a snapshot decision on week 18, why? You have no Christian McCaffrey. You're down your top 5 cornerbacks at this point. I mean, who knows is going to be on the COVID list. I don't think you're making a rational decision if you're using week 18 to make that choice.
Will, I've struggled with the idea of year 3 on Matt Rule because I don't like what I've seen, but I also understand what happens if you blow this thing up again. But, you know, there have been people who've come on from the national side of things giving Matt Rule credit for what he did in college, and that's the reason why he should get a year 3 here. I think it's bupkis. So outside of the track record at Temple and Baylor, what do you think are the feathers in the cap of Matt Rule that he can take and show to Dave Tepper as evidence that he deserves a year 3 in Carolina?
So I think we need to separate the fact that I think we need to be honest on what is his fault and what isn't his fault. So it's not necessarily his fault that the offensive line is as bad as it is. Part of it is because they went out and drafted J.C. Horn. And what sucks about this conversation is we can't have a conversation and say, hey, look how awesome J.C. is. Like, he's an all-pro. He's a pro bowler. Unfortunately, he got hurt. Now, he was tracking to be a really good pick, but I thought it was a luxury pick versus a necessity pick. I think they focused on the defense, and the defense has improved. It's regressed in recent weeks, but they played very well against the Saints, albeit against a very poor quarterback in Taysom Hill. So I think that where they have put their focus has improved. offensively, they have not focused, and you can tell. And you can tell because the offensive line is as bad as they have given it little attention. But they don't. They need to, and they will, obviously. And I say that because if they don't, then everybody should be fired. If they don't give it the attention they need to this offseason, and that means to invest, and Matt Rhule admitted as much recently this week, saying that they have got to make a significant investment on this offensive line, then they will make significant progress. At least they should be fighting for a playoff spot. But I think his biggest argument is that this was in shambles when he got here. There was two players on the entire roster from the 2018 draft, Brian Burns and an insignificant Dennis Daly. That's all he had to work with. The cupboard was all but bare from that draft, and the offensive line was in shambles, and they focused on the defense. The defense has improved. And we got to give credit where credit is due. But I don't know who made the final decision, but yeah, I think it would be Matt Rhule on the quarterbacks, and he's made probably two poor decisions, although I'm more in favor of Sam than I am Teddy.
So, Will, with that in mind, the thing that gripped the Carolinas today was the fire Matt Rhule chance at the Spectrum Center last night. Did you have an issue with a fire Matt Rhule chance?
No, I think, honestly, so I like it because it's passion. And the city has lacked a lot of passion in recent years, both in the Spectrum Center and at Bank of America Stadium. So the fact that there's passion is good. The fact that they're ticked off is good. It's better than not showing up and not caring at all, which is what we've seen recently in our professional sports teams here, unfortunately. So I think that's good. I think that the fans need to take a breath and realize where this team was when he took over and realize where he's gone wrong and what he's gotten right as well. Unfortunately, you're either Team Cam, Team Sam, Team Fire Matt, Team Love Matt, and there's not a lot of between with fans, really with any fan base anywhere about anything.
Will Kunkel, Fox 46, sports anchor, reporter, and director, and host of a Relatable Journey podcast on the Technicom hotline. Will, we got about 60 seconds here. I wanted to get one thought in on the Hornets. They won last night against Detroit. We mentioned the fire Matt Rhule chance. How is LaMelo progressing in year two versus your expectations?
I think he's gotten pretty – I'm shocked at how good of a three-point shooter he's been. I'm shocked at how much the Hornets really do rely on him and how much the offense runs through him. And I think that's good. I think that's okay. Every team has a player that's like that. I think this team still needs to learn how to win closeout games like they lost in Washington. That was a game that they should have won, but they were outscored by 11 points in the second half. And, again, this team is only going to be as good as they are without a big man right now, unfortunately. LaMelo Ball – I think he's progressed pretty nicely. What do you think?
I think he is as good as we can expect. There are things defensively that are still frustrating that I think he should be better at, specifically late in the game with some of the defensive assignments. I also think I'd love to see him get more aggressive, whether it's as a facilitator, as a scorer in late games when you need him. He's also 20, and 3 years ago was or 2 years ago was in Lithuania. It was in Australia. I think he's about where he's about as good and as far along as we could have expected.
Also, let's remember the debate coming in. Like, was he going to be any good in the NBA? I mean, two teams passed on him, and he was by far the rookie of the year. I'll also say his size has surprised me and his ability to finish below the rim. He is one of the best below the rim finishers, this is a little hyperbole, in the NBA because he's so young. I mean, it's a little hyperbolic, but when he gets to the rim and his ability to finish it reminds me of Kyrie.